From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this look at local and statewide news. Alaska lawmakers would receive significantly higher salaries, but reduced overall compensation under a plan that could go into effect soon. As Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports, that's raising concerns with at least some lawmakers from both parties.
Legislators could see their salaries increase from just over $50,000 now to $64,000. That's under a preliminary plan adopted on Tuesday by a commission that can recommend changes to lawmaker pay. Commission Chair Johnny Ellis, a former state senator, voted for the plan. He pushed back against a lower salary amount. He says Alaska legislators outside of Juneau face a unique challenge in maintaining two places to live.
It's a hotel room, or it's an apartment, or it's a room in a private home in downtown Juneau. That's what we're talking about. You have to maintain your place of residence in your district, and you have a place to live and an expensive Juneau accommodation. That's the reality of two households.
The plan would also cut the amount legislators receive to cover their expenses during legislative sessions, known as per diems. The amount paid per day would drop from nearly $300 to a maximum of $100. And legislators would now only be reimbursed for documented expenses. Commission member Lee Cruz voted against the plan. He wanted a lower salary amount and an annual per diem limit to reduce what legislators receive for expenses. He points out that Alaska legislative salaries are already above the national average.
Why do they need so much more? No one has explained this to me. No one has truly justified this to me. I just want a true justification for why they need more, because I don't believe it's there. $50,000 is a lot of money.
Alaska legislators would move from having the 12th highest salaries to the 9th highest, but the overall amount they are paid would likely go down compared to what they've received over the past 12 years. That's because combined salaries and per diems have averaged nearly $80,000 over that period. Legislators from both parties expressed concern about the potential change to per diems. Juneau Democratic Representative Sarah Hannon doesn't receive per diems since the commission eliminated them for Juneau's local legislators before she was elected. But she's concerned that the proposed maximum won't cover hotel bills that can be well over $200 per day during the cruise ship season.
So $100 per day, if it were top season in the summer, that doesn't get you a room anywhere, let alone any meals. And we do need to cover the cost of people having to live away from their workstations.
Wasilla Republican Representative David Eastman opposes the changes. He says it would reward lawmakers who miss session days, since the salaries would be higher while they would receive less for each day in Juneau. And it would make it harder for legislators with families with children like him to cover their costs.
Before COVID, my family would always come with me to Juneau, and I have four small kids. And it was important for us to, as a family, spend that time together. But with this new per diem policy, that basically prevents families like mine from coming with me to Juneau.
The commission is scheduled to decide whether to adopt the plan as a set of final recommendations on January 18th. Eastman says he doesn't expect there will be enough votes in the legislature to block the changes if the commission adopts them. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Soldotna's Indy Walton has resigned from his seat on the state's Board of Fisheries. That's the 7-member board that makes decisions on who gets to fish in Alaska's waters and when and how they can do it. Walton says he's dealing with health issues that have been exacerbated by stress and a bout of COVID-19. While he thought he could balance those issues when he accepted Governor Mike Dunleavy's nomination in September, he says he's since reconsidered.
I'd hope when I accepted the position that things would be different and change as far as my schedule, and didn't realize some of the health issues that I was being faced with until after doing some tests. And I know now I've got to alleviate some of the stress and lighten my load a little bit, which isn't my style.
Walton was on the board for 4 months and attended one work session in Anchorage. He says he's frustrated that he has to take a step back from the board now, and he might consider pursuing the position again if his situation changes down the road. Walton lives in Soldotna, but he owns a sport fishing lodge in Ikagig and commercial fishes in Bristol Bay. He's also an outspoken critic of the controversial Pebble Mine project, and he hopes whoever takes his place has similar experience.
I would love to see somebody who has an open mind that can try to bring, you know, both sides of the commercial and sport side of fishing together to work out some of the impasses that are currently, you know, at bay.
Dunleavy has 30 days to make a new appointment to the board. Dunleavy's office is now accepting applications for the position with a term ending in June of 2023. Separately, the board's next meeting, scheduled for January in Ketchikan, has been postponed due to high COVID-19 cases in southeast Alaska. Air travel delays continue for many Alaskans who went out of state for Christmas and intended to be back by now. Alaska Airlines canceled 100 flights on Monday, according to FlightAware.com. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin has been in touch with travelers stuck on vacation long after the fun is gone.
Susan Hayner of Anchorage is grounded in Las Vegas with three children under 10.
You know what? We're fine. We're just frustrated. We want to get home. Kids need to be in school. We need to be at work.
On their outbound leg, they got stuck in Seattle for 2 days, but they made it to Nevada in time for her daughter's hockey tournament. Then their return flight was canceled. Now, what was supposed to be a one-week trip is stretching to almost two.
We just extended our stay in the hotel we were staying at before. You know, it's a Marriott, so it's decent, but things are starting to add up, you know, unexpected costs.
I'm getting this. Look at what I'm getting. I'm getting one of these.
Hayner and her family are at Target, where they went for necessary supplies like nail clippers and emergency toys. Each child was allotted a $10 budget. Hayner says they considered taking the long way home, flying to other airports to see if they had flights to Anchorage. They even considered going via Hawaii.
Yeah, we were going to drive from Las Vegas to Los Angeles to be on that direct flight. There's nothing available until January, I think, 11th. We're going to drive to Denver. There's nothing out of Denver directly to Anchorage. You have to connect in Seattle. I mean, we were going to drive to Phoenix, but my friends are stuck in Phoenix right now until January 10th. There's absolutely nothing.
So now they're resigned to racking up bills with the hotel stay and the rental car. Meanwhile, back home, their Aussie doodle misses them, and they owe their dog sitter more with each passing day. They've heard the airline might reimburse them for some of it, but they don't know how much. Alaska Airlines, like its competitors, cites a combination of weather delays and a high number of employees sidelined by COVID. Scott McMurrin, who writes the Alaska Travelgram newsletter, says he thinks the primary cause was weather.
My sense is that COVID is a contributing factor, but there was so much bad weather, particularly in Seattle.
But to Hayner, it feels like this is one more thing lost to the pandemic, the trust she used to have in the reliability of air travel.
We can't take anything for granted anymore, like having a set schedule or arriving at our destination or going home.
The only thing Hayner feels she can rely on now is uncertainty. For Alaska Public Media, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Alaska's interior began the new year digging out from under three distinct storms that hit the previous week. The storms caused emergencies as people unable to dig themselves out were trapped. On Friday, the National Guard was activated by the Alaska Department of Military and Veterans Affairs to assist local emergency medical services with rescue efforts for folks trapped by the storms. Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor Bryce Ward says the borough requested a team from the Alaska State Emergency Operations Center specifically of people equipped to assist.
We're very appreciative of the Guard for being available over the weekend, provide assistance in extracting folks or just getting to people over the weekend as we continue to dig out from the storm.
A spokesperson for the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs said Air National Guard and Army National Guard personnel who live in the borough volunteered for Operation Winter Storms to assist their local community with emergencies. Ward says it was especially important in the case of medical emergencies where residents could not get out and EMS crews could not get in.
And we've had a number of cases over the last few days where emergency personnel have had to trudge through the snow to get folks. That's much easier to do when it's warmer weather out. With the extreme cold that we're going to be seeing over the next few days, we definitely were concerned about our personnel being able to timely get to folks.
This is KTOO News.